My name is Greg, and I'm 22 years old. I study law at university, and until a couple of years, I was still living with my parents, so I was able to dedicate myself to my studies full-time. Unfortunately, there were some personal issues between me and my father, and I decided to leave home. Of course, this meant I had to find my own place, and since I didn't inherit any kind of fortune, I was also in need of a job. This was going to be tough, but on the other hand, being the optimistic guy that I am, I also thought it could be a wake-up call and an opportunity for me to grow and to become stronger. I found a small apartment, and my mother insisted on paying the rent for the first couple of months, and I agreed, because it was just about a reasonable time for me to find work. I eventually got a job as a pizza delivery man. I was working the night shift, which was better for me. First, the payment was more appealing, and then I was able to go to classes during the day. Being young is very useful when you have to deal with such aggressive and demanding time schedules. But still, coffee and energy drinks became an important part of my life, I have to admit. The work itself, for the most part, was fine. Most people were nice. Now and then I'd get the occasional tip. Of course, eventually I had to deal with some sketchy personalities. And I also had to drive to some sinister places during dark hours. But I knew it was part of the deal. That's just life. We can't live in a bubble, right? One night, I was called to deliver a pizza to a fancy, exclusive neighborhood. Big, nice houses with plush outside properties, gardens, even pools here and there. I guess rich people enjoy their occasional regular pizza now and then. I rang the doorbell. I realized someone was watching from a window, so the door was immediately opened. Good evening, a small vegetarian pizza, right?
That's right.
A beautiful woman, probably in her early 30s, answered. Short, dark hair, big blue eyes, and a big expressive smile that was shining under the street lamp lights. She was wearing a Metallica t-shirt and black jeans. I could listen to heavy metal music being played in her house. "That'll be $14.95, please," I said, trying my best not to stare at her. "Here's 20. You can keep the change," she said, smiling. "Thank you, miss. I appreciate it," I replied, gratefully. "Miss, I'm Laura," she said surprisingly, introducing herself.
I'm Greg," I answered.
"Well, hello, Greg. You're new to the job, right? You're probably new at any job. You seem a little bit insecure. Don't be."
Yes, I have to admit that I am."
"Well, keep up the good work. You arrived in time, you're polite, your hands aren't sweaty, and you don't smell bad. All wins." Laura laughed. I laughed too.
"Well, I wish you a good night, Laura."
"Same to you, Greg." We parted ways. I went back to my motorcycle. Laura probably went back inside to enjoy her pizza. I was happy for a brief moment. A small, even if circumstantial, conversation with an attractive woman in which I'm paid a compliment was always welcome. A week later, I was once again summoned to deliver a vegetarian pizza to Laura. It's not unusual when you're working the same shift and regular customers place their orders the same time of day and week. At this occasion, it wasn't indifferent to the situation, and I was happy.
"Hey, Greg,
so we meet again."
"Hey, Laura, so it seems. Nice to see you," I said, as Laura picked up her pizza.
"Listen, I'm very straightforward, and I trust my first impressions. When it comes to people, I like you, Greg. You seem to be a gentle and genuine young man. Do you want to meet up at some place and have a few beers? When's your next day off, or night off?" Laura asked me.
I would love that. I think you're pretty cool as well. How about next Saturday night?" I said, not believing my luck.
"That will do. We can meet up here at my house, and then I'll drive us both to a nice rock bar. You're going to love it."
"Great. 9 p.m., is that fine?"
"9 it is. I'll see you next Saturday then,"
Bye, Greg. Take care. Bye, Laura. Enjoy your pizza. I guess the universe was looking out for me and rewarding me for being such a hardworking guy. A date with a beautiful and rich woman who lived in a mansion. Things are paying off. This is what I was thinking when I returned to my small apartment that night. After so many months, that night, I slept like a baby. The next Saturday, I was, once again, waiting for Laura to come out of her big white house. But this time, I wasn't delivering pizza. Laura was wearing a black dress and looked stunning. I was all dressed in black as well, for the occasion, so to speak. Laura drove us in her Mercedes to the bar that she was talking about. Rock Creek was the name of the bar, and it was awesome. I really liked it. Lots of metalheads, punks, and bikers. The music was heavy and dark, obviously, but the place and the people were fun and friendly. Me and Laura sat by the bar. I soon realized that she was a regular customer. We found out through conversation that we had lots in common, including her sense of humor and down-to-earth personality. It was late night, around 4 a.m., when Laura drove us back to her place. I was going to say goodbye to her and ride back home on my humble motorcycle, but Laura kissed me and invited me to stay. And I was very glad to accept both her kiss and invitation. I finally entered Laura's house. She told me her parents were filthy rich, and so she didn't have to work. That mansion belonged to her parents, but they had plenty of houses and lived somewhere else. Once Laura switched on the lights of her living room, I screamed. There were wild animals inside. Laura laughed. The animals were dead. It was creepy, though. There was a fox, a bear. Their corpses were conserved in order to appear alive. Taxidermy is an art, Greg. I know many people find it morbid, but I think it's a way to keep these wonderful creatures alive, or at least to remember them and see how majestic they were. Well, I guess it's a matter of taste, I thought to myself, trying to avoid looking into the menacing yet dead eyes of the bear. We had a final drink sitting on her couch and proceeded to the bedroom. Fortunately, Laura's bedroom didn't have any more corpses waiting for me, and after seeing Laura naked, I completely forgot about Mr. Dead Bear and Mr. Dead Fox. In a few minutes, Laura and I were making wild and passionate love. In the heat of passion, I didn't even realize that Laura had something in her hand, and the white sheets were now turning red. Laura was cutting me with sharp scissors, small cuts, which were nevertheless making me bleed. Bleed for me, baby. Bleed. Oh, come on. I'll stop when you faint. It's awesome, Greg. It's awesome. Just embrace the kiss of death. Oh, I love death. It's so calming and exciting at the same time, Laura said with her big blue eyes opened wide, revealing pure insanity. Terrified, I pushed Laura away from me. She was actually laughing, hysterically, and licking my blood that was all around her face and body. This at least gave me time to pick up my clothes and run out of her house. I dressed up outside on the street. Fortunately, it was so late and so dark, I thought no one was watching me. But I was wrong. I saw Laura looking up at me with a wicked smile from her bedroom window. I was still bleeding, but I rode back home as fast as I could. I decided not to press charges against her. I don't know if it was the right thing to do. Who knows what that rich psychopath of a bitch had done in the past, or will do in the future. I just wanted to get away from her, for good. The next day, I quit my job as a pizza delivery man. I apologized to my father and returned home. Tell us what happened on Tuesday, the 11th of November, 2019, between the hours of 11 p.m. and 1 a.m., sir. The interrogator asked in a rather harsh but somehow polite tone. I strained to recall the events that transpired that night.
floods of vaguely savage memories engulfed my mind as I began to splutter out the best description I could. I wanted that man to pay, and as for that poor girl, she needed justice. I did too. It all started on a Tuesday night. I was working an overtime shift at my local pizza place downtown. I thought it'd be a great idea to hopefully earn some money to pay for rent after losing my previous job just weeks before. I had just turned 25 at the time too, so if I could work hard for a few years, then maybe I would be able to afford uni and truly start my life. But that night, whilst fathoming the future I had ahead of me, I received a call. So I picked up the phone.
Giorgino's Pizza, what can I get for you?
I answered the phone with an air of customer service, but on the other end, all I could hear was breathing. Panicked breathing.
Hello?
A man's voice suddenly shot out from the phone. It had made me jolt in my chair, but I regained focus immediately and answered.
Hi there, sir. What can I get for you?
I said, hoping for a small order because of how late it was that night.
I would like to place an order for delivery. One small pizza. I'll pay at the door.
The phone slammed, and the line was cut. The guy's rude, demanding tone had marginally infuriated me. But I entered the order into the system, waited around 15 minutes for it to be made, got in my car, and drove to the address. I arrived just 4 minutes into the journey and walked up to a small apartment block, looked for the number 13 apartment, and dialed for entry.
Hello? Who is this?
A surprised voice blurted out.
It's your pizza delivery, sir.
My words were rather restrained as I held back a volley of insults and shouts that were lodged in the back of my brain.
Bring it up.
His voice tone changed to a stern, mildly commanding one, and I was buzzed in. Making my way up the steps, I looked around. I had noticed there weren't any cameras, which I thought was odd for an apartment block. Eventually, I made it to the door, knocked 3 times, and the door shot open. My jaw dropped at the sight of the person. He had a bloody knife in his hand, with his face covered in guts and dismembered flesh. I assumed he was the same person who made the call.
Get inside now, or I'll slit your throat and throw you off the balcony.
His voice remained stern, but that same background of panic could be noticed lurking in the back of his throat. I walked in, his knife trailing behind me as I set down the pizza and rose my hands, presenting my lack of weapons or danger, hoping he would release me. I could feel my blood curdling as I saw, over in the corner, a girl, tattered, beaten, drenched in what I could only think was her own blood and gored flesh. I looked back at the man. He stood still there, even started to grin. He must have been a psychopath, or had a bad fight with his girlfriend or something.
What do you want from me?
I hastily asked as he began to walk towards me.
You made a mistake tonight. You killed my girlfriend. You even tried to kill me. But I survived by killing you in self-defense. Now you're gonna take the fall for me. You're going to die.
His words stunned me. He was going to use me to cover up his murder. I couldn't let him do that. He charged at me as I lowered my hands into a fighting stance, and instantly we collided. His first attempt to drive the knife into my skull, but I slapped his hands away and kicked him onto the floor. A loud crash came from the fall, but I swiftly grabbed a nearby lamp and lobbed it at him whilst he was on the ground. He screeched in agony as it shattered against him. Whilst he rolled on the floor, still streaking and in pain, I threw myself on top of him, grabbing him by the throat, and for around 15 seconds, I held him there as he struggled to breathe. It was futile. He died shortly after. After I ended him, protecting myself and this girl's justice, I grabbed the landline, and that's when I dialed for the police to come moments later. That'll be all. Thank you, the interrogator muttered. I sat back in my chair, feeling rather relieved, when all of a sudden, the door to the interrogation room flung open, and two men dressed in dark gray suits came in. This is the guy, the initial interrogator claimed. Rather surprised, I sat right back up in my chair, baffled by this sudden appearance of two detectives. Sir, as of today, you are under arrest for a double homicide, breaking and entering, as well as withholding evidence from the police. Their words stung me with arrows of 1,000 steel lightning bolts. What? But how? I could barely muster the ability to speak as they sat down. During the recollection of events, combined with some extra evidence we found exterior to this interrogation, we have discovered your scheme, Mr. Davis. The second detective then pulled out a set of files and a recording of the interrogation. I stared blankly at the files, the pictures, the documents, and my mouth gaped as I listened back to the specific parts of the recording that identified that I was in fact the killer. The first thing we noticed was that you needed more money to pay rent. After looking at your bank statements, they showed you already paid for your rent, and in fact, you could pay for another 7 months. That led us to checking whether you were on a paid shift when you told us you were. Your boss said he doesn't allow overtime. That made us curious as to how you got the pizza and found your victim's home, as you never stated that they even told you what their address was. This meant that you had brought a spare pizza box, which we now have discovered you stored a knife in. You located their address by going through data files from the pizza place, and you said you only checked for cameras because you wanted there to be none. Once you got in the apartment, you sliced up the girl, and the man walked in. You pelted a lamp to the back of his head, then choked him to death while he was unconscious. You then laid the knife in his hand, covering it in his fingerprints, and argued yours were only there because you slapped it out of his hands. Once the murder was complete, you then dialed the police and prepared yourself to create a story. Great planning, I must say. The only problem we have is why you seemingly randomly chose two people, murdered them, then tried to frame the man for the whole thing. I couldn't move. I sat there, my jaw feeling almost detached from my mouth, purely from the shock of how quickly they caught me out. This wasn't supposed to go this way. I had planned for so long, so thoroughly, and I got caught. He stole something from me, I managed to utter from the very deepest elements of my soul. What did he steal from you? Why does that mean the girl had to die too? Their questioning tortured me. I felt so trapped. We dated once, me and her. But she cheated on me. Got with him. They both disgusted me. I did what needed to be done. Their faces sunk at my words. That's all. Time to come with us, Mr. Davis. They then proceeded to cuff me, and we headed for the jail cell. It's been around 4 years since then. I received a life sentence in prison for what I did. Every day I struggle to believe they caught me. So quickly as well. Yet I feel no regret, no remorse for what I did. They deserved punishment. And to them, I was the judge. Although I may rot in here to the day I cease to breathe, I will forever remember the look on her face as I drove the knife deep into her soft flesh and the sound of the last breath exhaling from her mouth. I loved it.